The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destro. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia, and Brooke, the Flyers are coming off a pretty impressive home-and-home sweep of the rival Penguins. Was that a little bit of a statement, Brooke, in your mind for the Flyers?
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
No, no, it was so much fun. I mean, you got the first... I don't know, two periods of that Saturday night game in Pittsburgh, and you're like, eh, like, this game's kind of boring. And then from the third period on and into, what is today?
Today is Tuesday.
The entirety of Monday night's game.
We've all been there.
It has just been the craziest span of time. No, but going into Monday's game, it seemed like Pittsburgh really wanted to redeem themselves, you know, getting a little embarrassed on home ice on Saturday. And the Flyers, you know, came out again with a lot of fire, a lot of force. And, you know, it needed a couple little extra, some minutes of extra hockey, both games and a shootout. And, you know, 4 points. Not too bad. I'll take it.
Not bad at all. And I thought it was really impressive when you just look at the Penguins roster. I know everyone is debating whether that core group is kind of on the decline, but they've got some pedigree on that roster. We're talking Letang, Carlson, Crosby, Malkin, Gensel.
It's just people that are notoriously known for performing well against the Flyers.
Yeah. And the Flyers came out and then to win two close games, games that go after regulation, one in the shootout on Saturday in Pittsburgh, the other in overtime on Monday night at the Wells Fargo Center. I think the Flyers are finding ways to win close games, games that aren't perfect. And to me, that's all part of the rebuilding process is learning how to win those games, having some young players contribute, and winning when it's not pretty. And I thought the Flyers did that. I think that was a really good sign for their rebuild, Brooke. And what can you say about Tyson Forrester?
Oh, man.
He's starting to heat up. I think goal scorers, when they get one or two, they come in bunches. And I think we're seeing that with Forrester. How impressed have you been with him?
I'm just happy for him. Like, you know, not that we were kind of harping on him at any point in the podcast, but, you know, throughout the season. But we've really gotten to a point where we were like, you know, we know what he's capable of. We think it's a confidence thing. It's going to be a domino effect. And that's basically what it's been. You can just see every single shift that he takes. There's just a new stride to his game. There's new confidence, and it's finally paying off in terms of points as well. And, like, welcome to the NHL, Tyson Forrester. Like, yeah. I think that this is huge. We were just talking about last week about who is going to step up in, you know, a really concerning offensive drought, like, across the whole team. I genuinely didn't think it was going to be Forrester, but I'm really glad that it is. It's been great. I'm really happy for him that he's finally figuring it out. And you can almost see, like, the relief on his face that it's like, I'm here. I'm doing it. It's time. So it's been great. It's been a nice little breath of fresh air. And, you know, we've debated for so long, like, does Tyson go down to Lehigh Valley for a little bit? Does he try to figure things out? And Tortorella has said time and time again, you got to give him time. He gave him time, and look what happens. People got to stop doubting Torts. He knows what he's doing.
I know. Brooke, I was thinking about it the other day. We debated on this podcast about Forrester maybe going to Lehigh Valley because he wasn't scoring, and maybe he goes there and rebuilds his confidence, comes back. Should he come out of the lineup? I give John Tortorella and the Flyers credit. They stuck with him, and that's a good sign, I think, in them delivering on their promise of we're going to play younger kids and let them develop here. They had very ample opportunities to take him out of the lineup and say, go get right down Lehigh Valley. We'll go with someone else. They didn't. They stuck with him because they thought he was playing the right way, and they're getting rewarded for it. I mean, these are clutch goals. He's got 4 in his last 3 games. He's done it in a variety of ways, a couple deflections that helped the Flyers force overtime against New Jersey, go-ahead goal in Pittsburgh on the power play in the 3rd period, and then the game-tying goal Monday night in the 2nd period, showing off his shot. Impressive stuff from him. Brooke, do you think he can keep this going? Like, is he about to go on a bit of a run here, goal-scoring-wise?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit of a tear. Yeah. I am. I'm, like I said, I just think it was that first domino, and I just think he's going to become like this explosive force offensively that the Flyers, again, so desperately needed. And then you're sitting here and you're thinking, you're like, all right, if Forrester's going, that's going to, you know, inspire some of the younger kids that may have had, you know, they're a little streaky right now. It's been a little slow for them to be like, all right, well, if Tyson's doing it, I got to do it. And then you have like all of the vets, you know, maybe figuring things out and sorting things out. And out of nowhere, we're going from talking about this really concerning 4-game offensive like drought to just explosion. And that is what we want. I mean, I wasn't at the game last night. But watching it, like, you could see that the crowd was into it.
Yeah.
And we had that same kind of energy, I would say, when defending champs Vegas were in town, when the Blue Jackets were in town, just because it was a Metro rival. But you know you're always going to get a good, energetic game against Pittsburgh. And that's what it was. And you just, like, seeing fans celebrate, seeing fans, like, cheer everybody on, like...
Yeah.
We joke all the time that, oh, man, like, this could really be a new era. But, like, you see games like that, and you see things where, you know, you could have just kind of turned over. And, of course, you know, Crosby then has that historic night against the Flyers, and you're like, okay, here we go. And they just turned things around. They didn't, you know, get their foot off the gas. They just kept going, and they pushed, and they fought. And that's what you need to see with a team like this. You're going to get really fun spurts and, you know, like these types of games. And that's what it was. And I'm glad it was against Pittsburgh. I'm not even going to hide it. Sweeping a home and home against anybody, that's great. Sweeping a home and home that required extra hockey, a shootout, and to get an overtime win, that's huge. It really is. And I think that that's something that the Flyers are going to be able to build off of for the next, you know, however many games.
Yeah, probably means a ton to fans when you sweep a home and home against the Penguins. And I think what they're probably doing in terms of winning some fans back is they're entertaining. They're fun. They're, you know, these are tight games. Again, they're not always perfect. They've made mistakes, but they're fighting, they're battling, and they're making it interesting late. And that's, you know, if you're entertaining, fans are going to watch. They're like, you got to give them reasons to watch, reasons to come to games. And if you're going to overtime a lot and you're coming away with wins, whether it be in the shootout or the OT, that can't hurt. I think that's going to help. And with Forrester, you can tell there's a swagger to him when he scores.
Oh, yeah.
A big time swagger, which tells you maybe he's going to put some more up coming up here. I remember talking to his director of player personnel in Barry, his junior team, and he told me that there's a cockiness to him. Like, he talks a lot in practice. Sometimes he wouldn't shut up, and sometimes they literally had to tell him, stop talking and just play. I think there's definitely a confidence and a cockiness to him in a good way. I think top prospects need to have that. So when he scores one, you can tell the way he celebrates. I think he's going to build on this, and I think he'll be a fun player to watch.
And I think that that is just something that fans are going to gravitate toward because, you know, we're Philly. We're not going to hide it. We're annoying. If you're not from Philly, we annoy people. It is what it is. But, like, Forrester is going to become a player and grow into this kind of player that fans are going to be like, oh, he can talk the talk and he can walk the walk. And that's what you want in any player. And, you know, in a rebuild, pretty much the younger guys, the prospects, are the ones that you look forward to finally figuring it out. And now you're seeing this huge, and it really has been like a significant leap in his performance from even just 2 weeks ago to now, where it's like, all right, like, he's on everybody's radar. He's on everyone's radar, and everybody's going to gravitate toward wanting to cheer for him and wanting him to succeed. And I think he's going to feed off of that energy throughout the city, too. People are going to be like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm scoring for you. Let's keep it going. So.
And I remember when he was drafted, a player comp that he gave was TJ Oshie. He said he really liked watching TJ Oshie. He feels like he could maybe be a similar type to TJ Oshie. I mean, I think Flyers fans would take that if that pans out. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, another guy we wanted to touch on is Samuel Erickson. I mean, he's been excellent over his last six starts. He's totally put that shaky start that he had to the season in the past. He's really giving them quality starts when he gets his turn. Has he earned more starts? Do you think the Flyers need to think long and hard sometimes when they're deciding whether it should be Carter or him in net?
Yeah, so I think my biggest thing is, I mean, it's an issue we wanted to have. You want two solid goaltenders. Obviously, you're going to have your number one in Carter Hart, but having stability with Erickson is a perfect scenario right now. I'm going to knock on all the wood.
Brooke knocked on her head.
I did. Don't you worry for those who are just listening.
Should have been the table.
I did it twice.
Not your head.
I swear.
Your head is not wood.
We're good. Everything's fine. But I think that this gives the Flyers in the front office and everybody involved this kind of discussion that can be open now where it's like, okay, yes, can Hart play four games a week? Yes, if there's not a back-to-back, obviously, if there's, you know, back-to-back consecutive days, it's going to be one or the other. But if it's, you know, you got a Monday, a Wednesday, and like a Saturday slate coming up, who's to say that you can't give one of those games to Erickson just because he continuously keeps proving himself to be the guy that can step up when Hart sits? It doesn't have to be like a do or die situation. It doesn't have to be, you know, maybe Hart struggling a little bit. Let's get Erickson in. It's just the back to back. Like, he doesn't have to just be an out of necessity backup goaltender. And I think a big thing, again, something that we've discussed, you know, from time to time was that, yes, he started off a little shaky and a little slow, but he was adjusting to not being an everyday a starter. So him adapting to being that backup goalie that has been, again, very reliable, I just think opens a lot of new avenues for the Flyers and what they're capable of in net. I think it's great. Extra rest for Hart. Great.
Yeah.
I will take it. You know, like, we don't have to overwork these guys. And I'll take that 100 times over. So, I don't know. What are you thinking? What are you thinking, Jordan?
Well, Hart's dealt with some injuries in the past. Sometimes little nagging ones, sometimes ones more serious. Yeah, absolutely. They can get him some more rest because they have a quality backup. Not a bad thing at all. I think the Flyers definitely realized they did not help Samuel Erickson early in the season. He didn't play until the fifth game of the year. And from his last preseason game until then, I think it was like 15, 16, 17 days of him not playing because Carter Hart played the final preseason game. It was a dress rehearsal. They just really didn't help him. And for a guy that's not used to being a backup at all and is trying to adjust to that, I felt like they could have got him in sooner. And I think deep down the Flyers probably realized that. They evaluated it and said, yes, we did not help this kid by getting him in after such a long layoff. I think they're going to realize that they need to get him in more for his effectiveness and also because he can help them when he's playing more. And he can help Carter Hart, as you alluded to, Brooke, about getting rest. So I think it's a very good thing for the Flyers. And I really don't think we have a goalie controversy by any means. I feel Carter Hart is the guy.
Right.
He showed it on Monday night. But I think it's good to have a 24-year-old and a 25-year-old goalie both capable of giving you, you know, good starts.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I said, it's the perfect duo. It really is. You know, like you said, there's no conversation right now like Erickson should be number one. Like, no, you know you have a starter, you know you have a backup, but you have a reliable backup that you can utilize, like I was just saying, more out of, you know, want than necessity. So, boom.
Yeah, if they
good.
Can.
Good.
Right. Exactly. If they can get him in every three or four games, I think that's a feasible plan that makes sense and will keep him fresh. And as we all know, you never know what happens in net. Sometimes, you know, injuries pop up. But I think we're seeing when Erickson's playing more, he is better. And I think the Flyers need to be cognizant of that and make sure they get him his starts. And if that means Carter gets a, you know, a night off from time to time when he's rolling, I think that's okay. I don't think Hart's going to lose his momentum because he doesn't start, you know, a game after playing well. So I think it's a good thing for the Flyers, and I think they've learned a little bit more how to balance this goalie tandem here. Brooke, one thing that's going to be a topic, and it's going to continue to be a topic until perhaps the Flyers have some injuries pop up, is the decisions on defense.
Yeah.
Igor Zamola has been healthy scratch for the last six games. Mm-hmm. The Flyers are starting to like that third pair of Rasmus Ristolainen and Mark Stahl. Are you bothered at all about how they're handling Zamula and not having him play right now through this?
It's a difficult conversation because you want Zamula to get playing time. The last thing you want is to have any younger player sitting. We, again, talked about it at length when Frost sat earlier this season. I do feel the same way with Zamula. However, Ristolainen kind of came right back in and was like, I'm not giving up my spot. Like, it was great. Like, he just kind of like jumped right back. He had a little shaky start, like, the first two games, but he really just inserted himself right back into this lineup, into this pair. And again, I was sitting there. I was like, you got the two older guys on the same line. I was on the same pair. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. And then, you know, they're not playing too bad. Mm-hmm. So I was like, crap, because you want the younger guys playing. But at the same time, Risto really just came back in and put his foot down and proved why, first of all, why we needed him back. And second, you know, it's just, it's the physicality and aggressiveness that I think, not that the Flyers have been lacking, but I definitely think they have benefited from since his return. And I don't know, it's really concerning with Zamula, like how they're going to handle things, because I don't want him sitting. I don't think they're going to risk sending him down and hoping, you know, he just makes it back to Lehigh. It's a difficult one, but if it's not broke right now, I don't want to fix it. And I'm really, you know, I'm kind of digging the defensive pairs right now. So
no, they've been steady.
Yeah.
I think the Flyers like that. And I mean, John Tortorella said this the other day, that assistant coach Brad Shaw feels like when the Flyers are tied or if they're up a goal, they can roll that third pair out in the third period. And they like it because the Ristolainen and Stahl are both long. They're effective with their length and their size. And, you know, they're vets. They're guys that you can rely on, and they're not going to give up a goal.
They can close things out.
They can close things out. But this was a concern of mine going in, was that when you're in the heat of the action and you have a chance to win a game, I think the Flyers are going to put winning first. And I don't think that's the worst thing, because I do think winning is important still for their rebuild. But eventually, I just think when Zamula is in and he's playing, like, get him on the ice. He's got to learn through playing in those situations. Yeah. And if he fails, it's okay. Get him back out there. You can't really shelter him too much moving forward in the third period. I just don't think it's helping him. But I wrote this in our predictions article in our Fearless Forecast at the start of the season, that I didn't think the Flyers were going to look too young on defense until maybe the trade deadline or if injuries happened. And the biggest reason Zamula played, Brooke, earlier on was because Stahl and Ristolainen were out.
They were out.
So I think this is going to be a daily thing. I could see the Flyers sneaking Zamula into games on back-to-backs, you know. But if Stahl hurts them at times and looks like he needs a break, I think they need to get Zamula in there and make sure he's getting games. I don't think he should sit too long.
No.
Four and six, I don't think is ideal.
No, and then you also just have to kind of look at it as, okay, it's the narrative of the younger guys across the board. If they're going to let Forrester play through it and figure things out, why isn't it the same thing for Zamula? Yes, of course, there are more bodies defensively than, you know, forward-wise at this current moment in time. But, you know, if you think the method for some of these prospects is to learn from mistakes and, you know, play through until, you know, something shifts mentality-wise, if something shifts you know, style wise, and it just starts clicking. Mm-hmm. Why isn't that the case with Zamula? So, like I said, like it's a really interesting confusing conversation right now. Because again, good things to have. You want to put your best players out there every single night. However, if the whole mentality is letting the kids play through it, let the kid play through it.
Yeah, exactly. Eventually they will have to learn by doing.
Yeah.
I really don't think they've trusted Zamula a ton late in games. I do think they've given him chances. I've seen it, and he has struggled at times.
Sure.
And I do think Stahl and Ristolainen are more trustworthy guys when the team is tied or winning. But eventually, yeah, they need to learn by doing, and Forster was an example. They kept rolling him out there, and they trusted him, and they said, you'll eventually score. And it seemed like he got better through repetition. I think Zamula could be the same way. But this will be a daily, I think, discussion for the Flyers. I don't think they've handled it really poorly or anything.
No, it's one of those things where
it's something to watch.
You weren't going to realize how they were going to handle it until they were going through it. Like, I don't think that was something that they necessarily prepared for. And obviously, they're going to put the better guys out there, like you said, if it is a chance to win the game situation, a chance to close things out situation. And right now, Risto and Stahl really kind of just take, you know, that title at the moment. You know, yeah. Something could change. There could be like a costly error down the road, maybe during this West Coast trip, that they're like, all right, we're going to sit one of these guys and get Zamula in. But I just think everybody is like learning as we're going throughout this process right now. And I don't think there's no foul to that. I just think that this is like a genuine like learning curve of how they are going to play the vets that are doing well versus getting in these younger guys.
Yeah, it's something to watch for sure. John Tortorella said the Flyers are not going to forget about Igor Zamula, and I believe they won't, but it'll be something worth watching of how and when they get him in. And I give him credit. The other night, Stahl, the last game Zamula played, Stahl had a rough game the night before, and they got Zamula in. I thought that was, you know, somewhat of a byproduct because Stahl didn't play that well.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, hey, let's give Zamula a try. I hope that's kind of what they do moving forward. I think it should be performance-based because they have talked about that.
Agreed.
That they make decisions based on merit. But they definitely cannot forget Igor Zamula. Make sure they're playing him. That's part of the rebuild and what they, I think, envisioned and promised. So all things worth watching. Bro, big road trip for the Flyers coming up here.
Yeah.
Three games. I think they're going to be tested. Coyotes, Avalanche, Nashville, the Predators. So I think a good barometer road trip for the Flyers of like, okay, can they take what they've done and kind of translate it on the road? What do you think would be a successful trip in your mind if you had to look at those three games and pick wins and losses?
Yeah, I think not that I'm going to be a moral victory person. Like I'm going to sit here like the when they forced overtime against New Jersey. I don't think anybody expected them to walk away with even a single point. So I'm glad that they did that. I'm kind of over the moral victory aspect of the rebuild, especially when they're coming off of such huge back-to-back wins. Like I said, it's great that it was against Pittsburgh, but it's the way that they did it that was so impressive. And this is a team, like, again, we have discussed time and time again, there are going to be highs and there are going to be lows. And I think that we're about to ride another really nice high because everybody's feeling good. They're going to have a little bit, I hate using the word swag, but I really think they're going to have a swagger to their game when they go out, you know, west for these next couple games and then back for Nashville, just because, you know, they're feeling good. They're feeling confident, and I think that that is just going to continue to show. I think the biggest test, obviously, is going to be Avalanche. I'll be really excited to see how they play out. But they've played pretty decently well against some of the top teams. So who's to say? I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling maybe two wins. I'll take 4 points, out of six.
I think two wins or like maybe 3 points, as long as the games are tight and competitive. I think they've been in so many games recently, and that's, to me, a major sign of progress is that they're competing and like they're not getting, you know, blown out by two or three goals. They're in games late, and I think that's all good for just learning moments and kind of building identity and all that, you know, all those cliches, but things that are actually real. So
yeah, and they finally won a game
in the shootout
after trailing.
Yeah, yeah, and that too. Yes, I thought you were going to say shootout. But
well, that too.
Yes.
So, like, just so many great moments throughout. Like, first of all, the fact
two comebacks.
Yep. Two shootout wins in less than a 2-week span.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two overtime wins, right? Because Couturier, when was the – no, that was – I'm all over the place. We got – well, Couturier has two overtime game-winning goals this season.
Yeah.
I think it's great that he feels good. He feels back. I feel like we're kind of, you know, creating something it's brewing right now. Things are moving. Yeah. And I remember, of course, I'm going to look on, you know, social media after games, but there was a lot of optimism. I can't believe I can say that word right now, because everybody used to treat it like doom and gloom. It's the end of the world. The Flyers failed to close out this game, blah, blah, blah. But people, like, they're getting back into it. They're getting back into being excited about the Flyers. Like, I saw a handful of tweets that were just, do you still call them tweets, posts?
Yeah, I say tweets.
I don't know.
That's fine.
X's. But everyone was just like, that was a really fun Flyers win.
Yeah.
And obviously it's going to have a little bit more emotion because, yeah, you beat Sidney Crosby in the Pens. So, yeah, it's going to feel good. But it could have been against any team if beating a home and home. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So I just kind of like the optimism that's brewing, how people are excited. And I think that the team is also just kind of realizing it's like, we're capable of winning these games. Mm-hmm. We're capable of playing up to this standard. Let's keep it going. And I think that that's going to continue during this road trip.
Keith Jones told our very own Ashlyn Sullivan in their sit-down interview recently that he's been a little surprised at the progress. Not surprised, but he said he feels they have exceeded expectations. They didn't expect the team, and he feels fans probably didn't expect the team to be where they are right now, 13-10-2. So I think they've taken some people by surprise, and I think the thing that Flyers are happiest with, Keith Jones, they are competitive. They work hard. As Keith Jones told Ashlyn, they don't like losing. They hate losing. They wear it on their sleeve when they lose. That's what they wanted. They want guys to compete hard and at least leave it all out there on the ice. And I think fans have respected that. And it's a big reason why I think they're watching. Fans want to watch because I think they know it's going to be a competitive, entertaining hockey game. So that goes a long way. So, yeah, I think the road trip will be good for them. I think it's a chance for them to prove themselves even more. I think there's going to be a ton of games where we're like, oh, these are barometers, but that's, I think, part of the process of where they are.
Sure.
You know,
100%.
So all three games on NBC Sports Philadelphia, the first one Thursday night against the Coyotes in Arizona at Mullet Arena, the College Arena.
Oh my gosh.
Which is always a fun environment. I remember last year, the first time they had gone there, I was like, this is kind of cool. They're playing in a college arena. That seats no more than 5,000.
Cool is definitely a word.
Yes.
Cool is definitely a word to describe that, Jordan.
Maybe different. Different.
It's something, all right.
Yes. But we'll have that game Thursday night on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and we'll have it all covered here on the Flyers Talk Podcast. Brooke Descher, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, and Flyers fans. Of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.